Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my...
Welcome back. And the Texans welcome DeAndre Hopkins back to the end zone, taking a 20-10 lead with 8:20 in the third quarter. A big touchdown pass from Watson to Hopkins.
This is helping my AB mood.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to move on from the Raiders to the Texans.
I'm switching over to DW4 to Hopkins. I love it.
Well, about a 25-yard touchdown pass, Watson to Hopkins, and on for the extra point try. 20-10 right now, extra point to come. As we've said, the AFC South feels wide open. Andrew Luck retires. Nick Foles is now injured. Deshaun Watson is clearly the best quarterback in the conference and the division, and the Texans have it wide open for them.
Although Mariota showed up big yesterday.
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk.
Those Browns around.
Yeah, next segment to Mike Keith. He's the Titans play-by-play voice, and he was there when Mariota showed up, when the Titans pulled off the big win. One of the amazing things about yesterday's win for the Titans, coming into that game, one of the most hyped teams in all the NFL was the Cleveland Browns, right? Baker Mayfield, OBJ, all that noise that was going on in Cleveland. They were finally going to get there. Titans, nobody was talking about them.
No one ever talks about them. I want to ask Mike about this. What's the deal there?
They were the silent team. Browns on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Maybe it was the SI jinx. Who's to say? But the Titans pulled off the big win.
Gave him a reality check.
I do think that it was a wake-up call for Freddie Kitchens. I actually love the talent on that team. I'm not sure that Freddie Kitchens is the head coach to make it work. 18 penalties for the Browns yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that was insane.
That's insane.
That's a discipline issue.
You cannot win with 18 penalties. I mean, that's just a non-starter right there. But when we come
almost
back...
200 yards. It cost them almost 200 yards of offense yesterday.
Yep. So when we come back, we're going to hear from Mike Keith, Titans play-by-play voice, and we'll ask him, have the Titans been unfairly overlooked in the AFC South? Are they contenders now with the injuries to Foles and the retirement of Andrew Luck? When we return, it'll be Mike Keith of the Titans play-by-play.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Baker Mayfield back in with 3:11 to play. Throws, intercepted. Intercepted by Butler. 30, 20, 10, 5. Did he get in? Did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown!
And that is the voice of Mike Keith, courtesy of Titans Radio. And joining us here on SB Nation Radio is Mike Keith. Mike, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
David, Carla, it's a pleasure to be on with you tonight. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we were just talking that coming into the season, the Browns were getting a ton of hype. Everyone was talking about the Browns, and it seemed nobody was talking about the Titans, and yet yesterday's outcome.
Yeah, we're not very interesting from the outside because our situation is this year, and this is a little bit of a change for us, stability. The same coaching staff back, one change in the entire staff.
Mm.
The entire defensive staff back. Only 12 players turned over on the roster. And you stop and think about that. That is certainly not the norm in the National Football League with only 12 players turned over. And so it just wasn't all that fascinating. Our free agents were good pickups. You know, Adam Humphries and Roger Saffold and Cameron Wake and some other guys like that. But I mean, there was no Odell Beckham or anybody of that ilk, and so. The Titans weren't a story. I understand why the Browns are a story. you know, Kevin Costner made a movie about the Browns. You know, they, I mean, they're, you know, they are a great story, and I still think there's a very good chance they're a playoff team, but they are not as much of a finished product to begin the year as the Tennessee Titans are, and that's just a major difference.
And, Mike, do you think that has to do with this being Vrabel's second year, and basically this is Freddie Kitchens' first year, who's never been a head coach before, steps up from the OC position. Is this just some growing pains and a lot of personalities to deal with in Cleveland?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, I mean, and that's part of it. I mean, Freddie's never been a head coach. And it doesn't mean he's not going to be a really good head coach, but he doesn't know how every bit of everything is going to go together. The preseason prepares you a little bit. And let's face it, too, guys don't play together as much in preseason games as they once did. A lot of guys don't even play in preseason anymore. And so it's going to take a while for Baker Mayfield to know how it all works with OBJ and all of the pieces that they have. They have a new tight end, Demetrius Harris. You know, they're figuring out their offensive line a little bit. That's what it comes down to. The other thing, too, that I remind you, week one is a huge tease in the NFL.
Amen.
And the reason is you have 5 months to prepare for your first game. Your second game, you have 5 days.
Hmm.
And so the turnover, you know, we start to find out a lot more in week two. Now, I'll make the case that the Titans are a pretty real situation because, again, stability, veteran leadership, this is not a young team. But for a lot of what happened in week one, there will be a very different result in week two, and then you'll be scratching your head going, what just happened here?
We're talking to Mike Keith. He's the Titans play-by-play voice. Let's talk about the Titans and Mariota. So coming into the season, there were questions. This is his big year. He needs to prove himself. Looked pretty good yesterday. What do you think the temperature is on Mariota right now?
I think the temperature on Mariota is the same as it has been overall. And I hate to be boring. I'd love to give you something, you know, wild and way out there. But I just don't think there's anything wild and way out there. I think he's the quarterback. The Titans are planning on him being the quarterback. He's the leader. He handles things well. You know, he handles all the questions about his future well. The big thing for Marcus is just staying healthy. If Marcus stays healthy and proves he can do that, I think the Titans want him for years to come anyway. I think they believe in him. I think they feel. I mean, it's a guy with 12 fourth quarter touchdown drive or 12 drives to win games, 6 games with 4 touchdowns. Yesterday, he threw 3 touchdown passes. I mean, this is a player who's had success when he's been healthy. And guys, if he just stays healthy, I think he's the Titans' quarterback for a long time to come.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike, and availability has definitely been Mariota's issue. So let's look at Delanie Walker, who had quite a game yesterday, the 35-year-old tight end returning from that gruesome ankle injury, hauls down 2 touchdowns in his 14th season. Then my favorite was his post-game comment of crown them if you want to crown them. Tell me about that.
Love
that. Tell me about the reactions. It was so perfect.
Delanie Walker is not scared. In this part of the country where I grew up, we would say Delanie Walker ain't scared. And that is like the ultimate comment for a human being is when you refer to somebody as they ain't scared. Delanie Walker is not afraid. He's not afraid on the field. He's not afraid off the field. He says what he wants. Because Delanie Walker's a tough guy. So he knows that he might have to back up whatever he says. I think most people would probably see what he did as funny because he had said some things before the game. And let's face it, the Browns had gotten a little hype. You know,
a little. That's kind.
I watched the video clips one day last week from around the country about the Browns on local and national shows, and it took me 90 minutes. And that was just, you know, like last Tuesday. I mean, they were talked up. And so Delaney had a little fun. And that's, trust me, he's not losing any sleep about it. And I think most people probably have a little bit of a chuckle and appreciate. I mean, when you're 35 and you've just come off the injury he did, you've stared into the abyss. And if you can't laugh, well, that's your mistake. And he's gonna say whatever he wants.
Fair enough. We're talking to Mike Keith. He's been their play-by-play voice of the Titans since 1999. Okay, looking ahead, the Titans face the Colts this week. Jacoby Brissett at quarterback for the Colts. How do you look at that matchup?
Colts are a better team than the Browns. Is they are a more complete other team because Frank Reich's been there for 2 years. The staff's been there.
Well, we may have lost Mike Keith. He's the Titans play-by-play voice. Fun to get his insights.
But let's go to a more competitive analyst. Did you hear yesterday CBS's call?
No.
they were having technical difficulties. Oh, he's back. Great.
Mike, are you with us?
I don't know what happened. That's so strange. What I was saying is I think the Colts are a better football team right now than the Browns because they're a more complete team. I think they're a team that has the ability to do a lot of different things. I like Brissett. I've always liked Brissett. Do I miss Andrew Luck? No, we were 0-11 against him.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't miss him. But Jacoby Brissett is a really good player. The Colts have a really good team. They should have beaten the Chargers yesterday. And the Titans are going to have their hands full at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. They know it.
All right, let's get, lastly, your thoughts on the AFC South now in general with Foles injured, Luck having retired. Who's the favorite in the AFC South?
I think it's still Houston. I mean, Houston won the division last year.
Yep.
Last I checked, they were doing a pretty good job against New Orleans on Monday Night Football. I think the team that has to be picked right now is Houston, but I think everybody's still very much in it based on the fact that Jacksonville was going to run the ball and play defense anyway. And whether it's Minshew or Joshua Dobbs at quarterback, you know, their idea is they're going to turn and hand it off anyway. So I don't think they're going to ask for as much from a quarterback, and they physically have the ability to win. I've already said I think the Colts are a good team. Yeah, are things a little different than they were 3 weeks ago? You bet they are. But things can continue to change in a heartbeat. I like this Tennessee Titans team, though. I'll tell you that. I like them on defense. I like the improvement on offense. I like the parts they've added. I like Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. I think when it's all said and done, the Titans are going to have a lot to say about who wins the South.
All right, that's the final word. That's Mike Keith. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Sorry for the technical problems, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. You get that from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, I might have called this weekend in college football almost cupcake weekend. It seemed that all the big guys were playing some week. I mean, Alabama playing New Mexico State. These were, Oklahoma playing Murray State. I mean, there were no great big matchups, but there were a couple.
There were two biggies.
I was really enjoying that LSU-Texas game. I thought it was very well played. Both teams, I think, were impressive to me. Texas, of course, had their heart broken. They fell in defeat to LSU, but I think Texas showed well. I think Sam Ellinger showed he can play on a big stage. I think the Texans' defense has some work to go.
Yeah, they do.
But Texans, well, University of Texas will be a force in the Big 12. I think that's a two-team race in the Big 12.
Between Texas and Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma, you bet.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think Texas's defense will be fine in conference.
Yep.
Because there's not a lot of defense in the Big 12. But when you're facing those big boys from LSU, it really showed up. And Joe Burrow, credit him, LSU's quarterback, had a career night. 31 of 39 for 471 yards, four TDs, and just one interception. Wow, wow. And I think he's not done. I think this isn't a one-off. I think he's really come a long way.
Oh, Burrow was impressive. I think he puts his name on the shortlist for Heisman candidates right now. And amazingly, I mean, it seems like forever LSU had a good defense and no offense, or a pound and ground offense. They've come into the modern era of offenses in college, and Joe Burrow is leading the way.
And credit Ed Orgeron, head coach, who began in 2016, took over for Les Miles. LSU is 6-3 versus AP top 10 teams since Orgeron took over. That's pretty impressive, because they really had a long way to come. And you look at UT, and I think Texas is really, they've come a long way under Herman, and especially their offense looks really good. And Ellinger is the guy for them. He's fantastic. Red zone issues definitely for UT. They missed on 2 fourth down conversions, came up empty both times. That's painful. So I think the defense, especially their secondary, is porous. They're not playoff ready yet at that position yet, but they can get there. But I did think, you know, there was a 20-7 halftime deficit. They really showed a lot of resolve, able to come back from that. You know, ended up 45-38 LSU on that beautiful 61-yard pass from Joe Burrow in the fourth quarter.
An amazing play.
Wow.
Yes. No, Burrow is special. He showed it.
I wouldn't have said that last year.
Nope.
But I agree with you.
Yep. Now, another guy you might not have thought would have come out with a win last week was, well, USC has a freshman, a true freshman.
You have to go there.
An 18-year-old quarterback who led USC to a win over Stanford.
What for Kevon Slovis? I think it's Kevon or Kevin Slovis. I mean, true freshman, unreal debut. It was amazing.
I mean, nobody saw that coming. JT Daniels goes down with his ACL last week. Where did this guy come from?
He came from Arizona.
Okay.
And he was just, honestly, he was literally just in their quarterback depth chart, not really thinking there's going to be any time to play.
Right.
But he had gone through three quarterback coaches since he started early at USC.
Yep.
And three quarterback coaches during his tenure. And boy, did he step on that stage. He looked like he was 12, played like he was 25.
Right, right.
Or 30. He looked poised. He made everyone around him look better. I was unbelievably impressed.
You know, it's interesting because there's a big difference between an 18-year-old body and a 22-year-old body. And there was one deep throw where it looked like he just had to put his entire effort and body into the deep pass. I mean, he's 18 years old. His body will develop, but he is young and fresh.
Yeah, and USC's lucky, and Clay Helton needs this.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Stanford, on the other hand, that dropped them right out of the top 25, which it should. It was a really poor showing. They had a nice lead, and they coughed it up big time, and it was ugly.
All right, another quarterback who fared well ultimately was Trevor Lawrence, Clemson winning. Slow start for Clemson, but then they pulled away. That was a nice matchup, though. It's one we look forward to seeing, the Aggies against Clemson. But clearly, Clemson is the class of the ACC, if not the whole country.
If not, it definitely the whole country, I think. Because you look at the first-place votes that came out with the new Week 2 Top 10. They got 56 of the 62 first-place votes. Of course, Alabama got the other six.
Yep.
But look at last year. So you had Clemson and Alabama playing, I mean, Clemson and A&M playing a game early on, just like this year. In College Station, Clemson ekes it out by 2 points with that front seven that was just NFL caliber and clearly NFL ready. They lose five of the front seven. So I'm nervous Saturday watching Clemson go up against an A&M team that's now in their second year with Jimbo Fisher, second year with Kellen Mond at the start. And they're playing in Death Valley. And boy, that defense didn't miss a beat. The score was 24-10 Clemson. It really was 24-3. They got a, you know, really easy
late touchdown.
Late
sure.
touchdown. But I think if you're a Clemson fan, you are fired up. Brett Venables did his job. That defense looks just as stout as last year, if not better.
So of the top five, you had Clemson with their win over A&M, Alabama, cupcake game against New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was much at risk there for Alabama. Georgia with a big win, easy win, cupcake. Oklahoma with a cupcake win. Actually, LSU now moves to number four ahead of Oklahoma, and deservedly so, because at least to this moment, LSU has beaten, has a quality win to their record. Oklahoma really not so much.
Right. And really, in the top five, Clemson and LSU are the only ones that really have quality wins to this point. And in the top four, three of the four are SEC schools, Clemson being the only one that's not an SEC, SEC school.
Now, Ohio State looming out there with their number six in the voting, and Justin Fields continues to impress.
Wow, 42-0 against a decent Cincinnati team. I mean, that's not a cupcake team. I mean, it's not going to be a contender, but that was impressive. The combination of Ryan Day and Justin Fields is nice.
Yeah.
Take that. You're happy if you're a Buckeye fan. They're looking good.
And Michigan, their rival, squeaked by Army. Army often sneaks up on teams, though, and gives them trouble.
They
and
do.
Michigan was lucky to get out of there with a win.
Oh, I felt bad for Army. I mean, that was their chance. They really wanted that chance to reconcile last year, and they had it. And, man, they just couldn't get it done. Couldn't get it done. But Harbaugh should be disappointed. That is not – you don't want to go into overtime with Army, with an unranked Army team. That doesn't bode well for Michigan.
He I can remember, though, Army gave Oklahoma a challenge last year.
Yeah, they did.
With that offense and the way they run the ball, it's a different style, and it's certainly given some big-time teams a big challenge at different windows.
And I would say, too, if we're going to stay in the Big Ten, don't sleep on Wisconsin.
Okay.
I mean, I often do for whatever reason.
I already have, but go ahead.
Their schedule is not as pillowy soft as it might seem, but they have not had a touchdown. They have not allowed a touchdown. 49-0 against South Florida, 61-0 against Central Michigan. I mean, these are not Power Five schools, but these are not complete cupcakes either. So, and they're doing it with other pieces besides Jonathan Taylor at running back. So they have allowed 0 points through the first 2 weeks of the season. Keep an eye on Wisconsin.
You heard it here from the Gloss. Keep an eye on Wisconsin. Okay, that's fair. You know, I will say when I look across college football right now, it does feel there's a significant stratification, though. There are about four or five elites and just about everybody else. I may be overstating this. We'll see what kind of team Notre Dame is. They were idle last weekend, and they could work their way into the mix. But there are some really special teams at the top, and then it's hard to see a lot of the other teams is really even been in the hunt.
No, it's true, and it's early to tell. We're just going to have to see how this all shakes out. Who thought USC would be eking into the top 25? I didn't, that's for sure.
Right.
But, you know, I'm looking at – I'm thinking about the Michigan game. You know, their quarterback, Shea Patterson, was sacked four times. That is a cause for concern.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get some protection. So.
All right, we have an update from New Orleans. The score now, the Saints 23, the Texans 21, a 14-yard TD reception from Breeze to Smith. And the Saints have taken the lead. They have trailed this entire game, but New Orleans working their way back in.
Well, there we go.
I'll say that, I mean, from the Saints' perspective, they have so much to overcome. They have to deal with the hangover from last year, the non-call, the drama with the Rams' loss, and here they sit at home, 14:55 remaining in the game. Saints just convert the extra point and now have a 24-21 lead over the Texans.
It's a tight one. Tight win in New Orleans. Not disappointing on Monday Night Football.
Well, Bill O'Brien and the Texans really need to come out with some momentum. The thing about the Texans this year is they do have the offensive line to protect Deshaun Watson. They've invested in Tunsil. That enabled them to put Titus Howard, their first-round pick, at left guard. Max Sharping, their second-round pick, over at right guard. They've got a lot of draft capital in that offensive line, and they may be poised to have a very productive offense this year.
But note that their defense is missing Jadeveon Clowney. Merciless is having a great game, you know, but it's a force not to have Clowney with them. It's going to be an adjustment period.
All right, we'll get an update from Scott Harrison, who's in New Orleans, when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. And the big matchup, the Monday night game one underway. We have Scott Harrison in New Orleans. Scott, what's the update?
Well, David, both teams scored touchdowns before the midway point of the third quarter. DeAndre Hopkins caught his second touchdown tonight, this time a 16-yarder. Meanwhile, the Saints took the opening kickoff, 83 yards for a score in just over 2 minutes. Latavius Murray picked up his first touchdown for New Orleans on a 30-yard run. Drew Brees connected on his first touchdown pass of the game with 2:39 remaining in the third quarter. That was on a 9-yard connection with Taysom Hill. Meanwhile, Saints safety, and that was Marcus Williams, intercepted a Deshaun Watson pass late in the third quarter, resulted in a 14-yard touchdown pass to Traquan Smith. So Drew Brees so far has two touchdown passes on the night, and he's passed for nearly 300 yards. Here are the crowd cheering on the defense for the Saints. Right now, we see it's 3rd and 17 for the Texans at midfield. Clock has 11:41 remaining here in the fourth quarter. And right now, it's New Orleans Saints at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome over the Texans 24-21. Back to you, David and Carla.
Woo, you can hear that stadium.
Man, that is loud. Here comes Who Dat Nation.
Who Dat Nation. They came out of the closet because they were quiet in the first half when the Texans had the lead. But now the Texans trailing 21-24 and a big 3rd and 17. So Deshaun scrambling, and he will be sacked. And a penalty flag down, likely a holding call on the Texans. So that drive will end for the Texans with 11:27 remaining in the fourth quarter.
Hate when the tide turns. Interceptions will do that to you.
All right, it's time for our world-renowned He Said, She Said feature, where we look at what people have said around the world of sports, and we offer our commentary. And let's begin with the king of college football, Nick Saban. He was asked about why Alabama was playing New Mexico State this past weekend, a cupcake game, and this is what Nick Saban had to say.
We try to schedule the best teams that we can schedule, and we're trying to do that in the future as well. We can only play the people who are willing to play us. I've said my opinion. I'd rather play 10 SEC games and then play two other Power 5 schools. So all the games are exciting for the fans. All the games are good football. You wouldn't have to go undefeated to get in the playoffs because you'd play a more quality schedule. I've been through and covered that ground 100 times. Would I rather play other teams? No disrespect to New Mexico State. If it's my philosophy that we should play 12 Power 5 schools, I'd say the answer to that would be yes. I don't know why you would ask me that question, as if I could do something about it when I can't do anything about it. So we're playing the best teams that we can get to play us. Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
Woo! Woo! He got a little hot.
He's en fuego. Yes. You know what? It's about the money. It's all about the money. And New Mexico State would love $1 million to play Alabama. Hmm. And that's probably what they got.
Right.
Or something in that kind of neighborhood. And if you're a non-SEC West school and don't have to play Alabama, their own success precludes other teams from wanting to play them. You think Michigan wants to pick up and play Alabama? I don't think so.
Well, in a world where you often have to go undefeated to be in the college football playoff, it's awfully hard to put Alabama on your schedule.
Yeah, so their own success precludes that. But he does have something to do with it because you do schedule these games, and you schedule them several years out. So we'll see. I mean, he's feisty about it, but he's always feisty.
All right, let's look at the NFL. Lamar Jackson, who had an outstanding performance in the Ravens' victory. Let's hear what he had to say after the game.
Lamar, you said pretty much the whole offseason that you were going to throw the ball. Do you think you improved people that you were throwing the ball to?
Probably not, but not bad for a running back. But, yeah, offensive line did a great job. I barely had pressure. Receivers did a great job of getting open, catching the ball, scoring a touchdown. That's what it's all about, and that's what we did today.
All right, I love it when he said not bad for a running back, because he has been called a runner, not a passer, yet he showed his ability to pass yesterday.
And do you remember when he was being drafted, They were thinking, well, he should maybe be a running back. He should maybe be a receiver.
Yep.
You know, they weren't. Most teams were not picking him as a quarterback. He went number 32, just sneaked into that first round, and now Baltimore is looking like geniuses.
All right, at the other end of the spectrum, Baker Mayfield went number one in that first round. And yesterday he talked about the Browns' embarrassing loss to the Titans.
What makes you most confident about this team's resiliency and being able to kind of shake this off?
Because everybody's going to throw us in the trash. I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room, and quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back, and we got a Monday night game coming up, so we don't really care.
Well, you can say you don't care, Baker, and you know, let's be clear. It's not that the Titans are garbage. What happened was that Tennessee dominated an undisciplined and an overblown Browns team. Look at Cleveland's penalties. 18 penalties for 182 yards. Mayfield had three interceptions in the fourth quarter. Hello. And Cleveland loses its 15th straight opener. They still got some work to do.
Yeah, doubts about how all that's going to fit together, all that talent, and whether Kitchens is the right coach. 18 penalties is a bad day for a head coach.
But there was a fancy watch on one of their wide receivers.
Well, and that's another element there. OBJ wearing a $250,000 watch on the field. What is that all about? That's self-promotion. That's diva. That's point. Look
and
at me.
And you're wearing a watch playing football.
It just makes no sense. He's just trying to draw attention to himself.
If look at me. It's all about me.
Well, and you know, I think we're going to have to replay this 6 weeks into the season. If the Browns struggle, if Baker Mayfield has three more outings like this, OBJ is going to get very vocal. He's going to go negative. He's going to call out his teammates, and it will become a big clubhouse problem. This is a team that's built and will only stay together if they win, if they face adversity. I think OBJ is the first to throw his teammates under the bus.
Who does that remind you of?
Yeah, well, top of mind in your heart, Antonio Brown.
A period, B period.
No
there
doubt.
We go.
All right. The Titans, Delani Walker, had a lot to say about the game with the Browns. Let's hear what he had to say.
I'm going to tell you again, they were who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, crown them. You get what I'm saying? You still got to play football.
How much did that fuel you guys, though?
That fueled us. That's why we went out there playing off of that. I mean, it's funny, man. It's so funny. Like, you can doubt someone and you ain't even played a game yet. But, I mean, that's what we do in this league. We hype teams. We hype them. And, I mean, that's the norm.
I have no issue with what he said. He's 100% right. It's like the media has crowned the Cleveland Browns Super Bowl contenders, if not Super Bowl winners at this point, based on their talent and their roster. You still got to play the game. Say it again, Delaney. You've still got to play the game. And they can say after yesterday, you are who we thought you were. Not a force to be reckoned with. We schooled you yesterday. It's basically what happened.
Fair enough. All right, for the Jaguars, Nick Foles, the quarterback they signed as a free agent in the offseason, counting them to fill in the gap. He suffered a broken left clavicle yesterday. And after the game, head coach Doug Marrone was very animated on what he thought about the injury.
You know what I'm going to say, right? It happens. I mean, there's nothing. You know, what are you going to do? You got to lead. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's easy, you know, to sit here and woe's me and all that. I'm fired up for the challenge. You know, I'm fired up to coach these players. I'm fired up for the challenge.
You know, he's fired up because he's got Gardner Minshew that stepped in and at one point had 15 consecutive completions. He ended with 20 of 25 on the day, 275 yards, two TDs, one interception in his debut. He was at Washington State this time last year, he and his mustache. So, listen, this guy looked unflappable.
And the mustache did.
And the mustache was unflappable. But credit Doug Marrone. I mean, that is really... That's great drafting. That's great pickups by Jacksonville, because Foles was their biggest pickup of the offseason, their franchise. And he's going to be out until week 11. Week 11, as is Funchess with the Colts with the same injury. What was going on with collarbones yesterday?
Yep.
Tyreek Hill also left clavicle collarbone injury, but not surgery. So crazy day in the NFL.
Yeah, Minshew looked pretty good yesterday. Looked very good. Mm-hmm. I just wonder as defenses can plan for him and defenses run the full scheme of their defensive calls, whether Minshew will fare so well. I mean, this is a big setback for the Jaguars. Nick Foles was the guy they were really counting on, and it's still a bit unclear when he'll be able to return.
But there is not a lot of tape on Gardner Minshew right now, so that is going to benefit him.
That is true.
That's when the sophomore slump comes in, so we'll see.
All right, Sunday Night Football, the Patriots looked outstanding. The pre-Antonio Brown Patriots rolled over the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, was honest about the loss.
Man, really no need to sugarcoat it, man. We weren't ready for prime time tonight. All of us, not a good enough plan, not a good enough execution of that plan. You got to tip your cap to those guys. They had a good plan. They executed the plan. You know, they kind of made the significant plays, even with all the things that I said. You know, we had bang-bang plays on both sides of the ball. It seems like they made them and we didn't.
You think? You didn't even put a touchdown on the board. I'm sorry. I really like Mike Tomlin, and I have new respect for him after the AB circus that we have been dealing with for the past several weeks.
Yeah.
To think of how much happened there that we really didn't know about. However, this is week one in the NFL. Everybody went through the same period of training camp. What do you mean you weren't ready for week one? Credit the Patriots. They looked amazing. But come on, you've got a veteran quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. You've got an outstanding wide receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster. The running back position, you've got James Conner. This is not Le'Veon Bell. This is not Antonio Brown. But certainly, you could do more than 3 points on the board. It's inexcusable.
On the other side, I thought the Patriots' offense looked outstanding. Yes, they've got three great receivers.
Tony Dorsett looked out of his mind.
Philip Dorsett, sorry.
And yeah, that would be really fascinating, wouldn't it?
Dorsett
come back.
But Dorsett, Josh Gordon, and Edelman, of course, three really good receivers. It begs the question, do you take the risk of bringing a potential poison into the locker room? Patriots will work on it. Of course, they could, if Brown just blows up in 4 weeks because he's only getting two catches a game and he becomes a locker room sore, they could just cut him, but boy, they looked like they didn't need Antonio Brown yesterday.
No, well, then they would have to kick Antonio Brown out of Tom Brady's house because he's going to be living with Tom and Giselle while he gets situated.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd want Antonio Brown coming and hanging out at my house.
And screaming, I'm free out around the backyard.
And who knows what videos he might take, what he might record, what conversations. You just can't trust him.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Finally, Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, well, they were able to salvage a tie with the Lions. And Kingsbury, well, he took ownership for just how bad of a start his team had in the first three quarters.
I did a poor job early. I tried to be too cute, over creative. I think sometimes when you have all summer to draw stuff up, you kind of get out of your comfort zone. And I think it affected our quarterback early. I wouldn't get him in a rhythm. We couldn't sustain any drives and get him going and settle him in. And it was three quarters of the worst offense I've ever seen in my life, you know. And it was my fault. Like I said, bad play calls, bad, you know, just trying to do too much. And we'll get that corrected.
Well, welcome to the NFL, Cliff Kingsbury. Credit you for being honest. I've never heard a head coach say he was trying to be cute, but that is a new phrase for the NFL, so there we go. And learn from your mistakes. Kyler saved your rear in the fourth quarter.
Kyler was impressive in the fourth quarter.
Only in the fourth quarter.
Only in the fourth quarter. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. You'll be right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Texans trailing by three still. And 6.5 minutes remaining in the game. Texans have the ball. So an exciting one. Monday Night Football
it's
game
exciting.
One.
Exciting. Good. NFL fans, be happy.
All right. Let me cover what I've learned from the gloss for the last couple of hours. First of all, in the breakup between Antonio Brown and the Raiders, the bad guy is not the Raiders, but Antonio Brown.
100%. Do you know Sunday it was revealed that Antonio Brown used social media consultants to help him get released from Oakland? It started with posting Mayock's letter on Instagram. It went to the YouTube video with Gruden's private phone call. it continued on. And I wonder if those consultants are based in Foxborough. Just asking.
Well, that brought me to an extra. I learned that Drew Rosenhaus is a sneaky guy.
I'm going to try and be nice, but I just can't.
Okay, let me move on to a good one.
All right, good.
I learned that Joe Burrow is the real deal at LSU.
Oh, they're happy, and they're happy in Louisiana. Yeah, he's the real deal, and he's just going to get better.
I learned that we should not sleep on Gardner Minshew of the Jags.
I think it's going to be exciting.
There might be something there.
Look what he did in his debut.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's impressive. They're going to see the Texans next week, so more to come.
Well, hopefully the Texans, he won't be too impressive.
That's right.
All right, and lastly, well, I learned that you think Jerry Jones needs to pay Dak.
Pay up.
It's time to sign him up.
And I think the longer he waits, the more expensive Dak gets. If he continues like Sunday night with a perfect passer rating and over 400 yards, wow, wow, wow. He's going to be setting the new bar for quarterbacks.
Well, Cowboys going on the road to play the Redskins, and I don't know. That's never an easy one for them.
No,
and
it's not.
Case Keenum looked pretty good last week, particularly in the first half. We'll see.
But Zeke will have a whole week to practice with the team again, so we'll see. Got their different parts coming.
All right, coming up next, Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. Be sure to stay tuned for Alex Gold. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.